been murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. It is a Purple Friday preview, and unfortunately for us Ravens fans, we got to wait extra long for our next Ravens game because the Ravens don't play until Monday night. But boy, what a game do we have this week. It is Ravens-Patriots. Josh, what is going on, man?
Hey, man. I'm ready for Monday night football. I'm excited, bro. I'm chomping at the bit. I don't know if I can work on Monday. Even then, I'm off the next day, too. So.
Oh, nice. There you go. You get to actually enjoy the game.
Not really. Well, I got jury duty, but I'm not working.
Oh, that is the worst. I hate jury duty.
I know.
I've been called almost every year since I've been 18, and I've had to serve on two trials already.
Are you wearing a Santa suit?
Yes. Yes, I am.
What are you doing?
I have a special Santa robe.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, it is the holiday seasons.
I love it, man. I love Christmas time.
All right, so we have Ravens-Patriots this Monday night. Now, let's just start off general talking about this. A lot of fans love that Ravens-Steelers games, and I'm not going to lie, they're always the ones that I mark off on the calendar, but at the same time, I also look for that Ravens-Patriots game whenever I can because I love these two teams against each other. It is always down to the wire. It's always a nail-biter. But, Josh, I have a pretty good clue of what I think you're going to say here, but what's your favorite rivalry? Is it Steelers-Ravens or Ravens-Patriots?
It doesn't come close. Christmas Day, man. Ravens-Steelers. I mean, everybody's been – and I know this was a hot topic this week of because we played a lot of meaningful games. This could be number two. Obviously, you want to look in your division for rivals. The Ravens-Steelers are definitely – the top billing. They're the top billing in the league. What it comes to the rivalry is you play each other frequently, for one. It seems like it's a yearly thing that the Ravens and Patriots are squaring up, whether it's the playoffs or regular season, two. Stakes got to be high. It's always high for the Ravens Steelers, man. But and if you're looking at the Patriots games, stakes have always been high there, whether it's a Super Bowl berth on the line, divisional playoffs, advancing in the playoffs to get in the playoffs, to knock them out of the playoffs. There's always been something at stake here. It's not even close. Ravens Steelers takes the cake, bro.
I'm right there with you that the Ravens Steelers is always going to be the top rivalry. But I do have to say, you know, the last couple Ravens Steeler games, they weren't boring, but the Ravens definitely have the Steelers number. I mean, I love seeing the Ravens come out on top. But I mean, how many times have we beaten the Steelers, in a row now? I think this last game was 5 in a row, which I love. But that Ravens-Patriots, I still feel as if we have something to prove against that team. I mean, constantly we're showing up in the playoffs. I remember the last time that the Ravens went up against the Patriots took away two 14-point leads. They did some trick plays, and Brady came out and said, hey, you guys should read the rule book again. And that's when Deflategate started the next week. I mean, there is a lot of history between these two teams.
There is, man. There's a lot of history, indeed. And if we're going to go back far and dig deep into the annals of history here, Bill Belichick, architect of the Ravens draft pick, picking Ray Lewis. I'm always vocal about that. He was on the Brown staff in 95 before the team moved here. He's been known to be seen down in downtown Annapolis, Maryland, occasionally where he actually supposedly has a residence. So, I mean, apart from that folklore and all all the stories that come with this semi-rivalry, would you say? It is a rivalry, but it has its own weight to it. It's not the divisional rivalry. We don't play them twice a year. But Stokes has his own beat with Brady, we know. It was the getting over the hump. We've already exercised the demons where we've won at Foxborough twice in the playoffs. Speaking of that, it's kind of bittersweet because I kind of wanted to go to this game. Obviously, being picked for jury duty the next day puts a damper on that because I would have hightailed it out of Boston and make it overnight. But the last time I was in Foxborough, the Ravens had a 2-touchdown lead in the playoffs and lost this game in crazy fashion. So, I mean, this is, I think, rivalry number 2 for the Ravens. And I think I have to look at 2017 opponents, but I really hope the Patriots are on there. If not, that's where the rivalry dissipates because you kind of have to keep that game going. And we all remember, you remember when the Terps played in the ACC, right?
Right, yep.
Everybody looked forward to those Maryland-Duke games, and Duke was always joking, saying Maryland's not a rival, it was North Carolina, because it was in-state and the bad blue, the blue blood there. But Maryland always had a bone to pick with Duke. It was Maryland-Duke matchups you look forward to. It was those, I mean, now it's Mark Turgeon's team, but it was then Gary Williams, Mike Krzyzewski, still coaching the game. You always look forward to those matchups. Now, with the Terps being in Big Ten, that's not the case. So, and I always bring that up because that was it. That was a rivalry, but now we don't talk about that anymore because they're not in the same league. They don't play each other. They didn't keep that game every year. There was talks of keeping that game every year, but it's not. So if the Ravens billing here doesn't bode well for 2017, it can't be saw it as a rivalry. But, dude, this holds so much weight. It's that classic game you look forward to, right? And what so happens, they put them on Monday Night Football, which is fitting, man. This isn't a 1 o'clock Sunday. This is let's get it going on prime time, bro.
And let me tell you, this last Monday's game was just a snore fest. I don't think, you know, it was funny. You know, we went to the Jets game this year. I heard on Monday Night Football this past week that if you were a Jets fan, you could actually buy tickets for their Monday Night Football game last Monday for $5 on StubHub.
I heard that. I saw someone sleeping in the stands on TV, too, showed you how boring it was.
Yeah, exactly. I think this is going to be the exact opposite of last week. Let me ask you, though, the exact opposite maybe for this Ravens team. Are we going to expect a 38-6, you know, drudging of the Patriots like we saw from the Dolphins? Because if you look at the national media right now, after that Dolphins game, a lot of people are picking the Ravens to win everything, to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, this is insane.
I'm actually surprised you brought that up because I wanted to actually lead in with that as well, man. I'm happy you brought that up right now. All of a sudden, everybody's like, ooh, the Ravens. But you know how it goes. It's a week league. You know, 3 weeks ago, the Ravens weren't in talks of playoffs. And everybody's like, oh, this team's anemic and this team can't move the ball. Look what happens. Look what happens when you perform as a team and perform like this. You almost force the national media to respect you. You get that respect earned by good play. You don't get it by winning ugly. I mean, we win ugly, but if you keep winning games, someone's going to have to talk about you. I mean, the Raiders are 10-2 quietly. We could be up there if we'd have won a couple more games. I mean, we're only, you know, 2-3 games off the pace there. So, I mean, it's not a big deal. What it comes down to is that is actually surprising to me. But then it's not, because it's surprising because of how this year has been up and down. It's been crazy talking about, you know, calling out Flacco's passion, calling play calling, firing another defensive coordinator, or offensive coordinator, I should say. Everybody's correlating that. Could it be another spark? What I want to really bring it down to is the similarities between us and the Steelers. All right, let's check. Do you have your Christmas list ready?
Oh, always.
Well, start checking off. You got the Ravens and Steelers at 7-5 after 12 games, right?
Okay. Check. Yes.
They both had hot starts. The Ravens are 3-0, and I believe the Steelers are 4-1. Check. Right?
Yep.
You still with me?
I'm with you.
Just make sure you fall asleep, man. Just, you wait.
I'm not a Jets fan.
I had to post that picture. It was pretty funny. I paused TV to take a picture of it. both teams have 4-game losing streaks. Check. A lot of people have been dubbing the Steelers as a perennial and a dangerous playoff team, but no one talks about us. Yet, we're mirror images. We're both tied in the division. We have the half-game lead because we beat them back on November 6th here, and rightfully so. Patriots are they're very under the radar, 10-2, and I say that because they had no Tom Brady for 4 games, got out of there at 3-1, almost were 4-0. They lost a couple games, but the Jets. And again, don't get me started. Like you said, Monday night was a snooze fest. I even tweeted, "How did we even lose to the Jets?" is beyond me. But one of our fans kept straight saying injuries, coaching, play calling, and it was a bad time at that time. And it was the fourth of a four-game losing streak before the bye week. But what it comes down to is that's on the past. We're a different team. And the Patriots are without Gronk. They're going to be without Amendola. So Brady's already down two targets. They have Martellus Bennett. They have LeGarrette Blount. Now we're going to stop the run. We already know that. So we're going to have to make old Tom Brady beat us, and we already know he's Tom Brady. He's going to perform. But he started off the season when he came in week number five on his first game. In his first three or four games, dude, he was in MVP discussions. Now he's barely throwing an average a touchdown a game, maybe two. Their ground game's taken over, but this is going to be a very close game. This is going to be mistake-free football wins the game. Whoever makes that stupid mistake, fumble, sputter on three and out, doesn't get it in field goal range, misses a kick, whatever this little nuances that might not happen for that team is going to lose the game. That's what's going to come down to, and I'm very excited to see how this plays out. And that's why I wanted to bring up the similarities with us and Steelers and then the Patriots, because everybody talks about, like, even the inside NFL, and I think the clip's right here, I think I have it. I listened to that going to Ravens app. It's pretty awesome to hear these guys talk about just hearing that discussion. It doesn't surprise me, Brandon, because the Ravens are always in that Super Bowl discussion. Us and the Super Bowl are kind of in the same sentence pretty much every year. Seems like playoffs, Super Bowl, Ravens, it's all in the same sentence, all in the same discussion, along with Pro Bowlers and Hall of Famers. With that being said, yeah, we're three games off the pace. Ravens at 7-5 and Patriots 10-2. But throw the records out the door. We relish this role. Obviously, we play a slight underdogs here in this game. We're not big underdogs. And I was just discussing this week, man. You remember me and you were watching the Dallas game. We had hope there, but we know our concerns, right, from that game?
Right, absolutely.
Do you remember what our concerns were coming out of Dallas after that game was played?
My biggest concern is that Sharice Wright is somehow going to make it onto the field.
That and the penalties. Remember, it was third down efficiency and penalties, right?
Right.
We gave the Cowboys 136 total penalty yards. We held Ezekiel to 97 rushing yards, but we gave them 3 yards because we were undisciplined and we couldn't get them off the field on third down. What do we do against the Dolphins, who are on a 6-game winning streak? We stopped them dead in the tracks. Speaking of, I found this unique. The Ravens and Steelers both played on Sunday, both won. Do you know that the Steelers played the Giants, and the Giants also had a 6-game winning streak? How weird is that?
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Giants were 8-3. The Dolphins were 7-4. Imagine that. The Ravens, like we just discussed, 7-5, tied at the top, 4-game losing streak, started all 3-0 and 4-1, and they both just defeated a 6-game winning streak team in their respective games on Sunday. The Steelers played the Bills, and the reason why we always talk about this, it's us and them. It's a two-horse race, man. This is the final stretch of Pimlico right here at the Preakness. Who's going to take it? Who's going to take it and go on to the third leg of the Triple Crown here in the NFL playoffs? Because it's coming, man. I mean, we're in the fourth quarter of the season, December football. Doesn't get any better starting a Monday Night Football in Foxborough. We play well there. I'm not worried about it there. It's just we can't get out-coached. We can't get out-smarted, and we have to stay healthy. The Ravens are healthy and hitting it at the right time. And there was an article on the Ravens website that basically said could this have been remember how the 2012 season, everything's correlated there. We endured even a 3-game losing streak in that season. We endured a 3-game losing streak in the Super Bowl year 2000, a 4-game losing streak here. We dubbed a huge win against the Giants in that, and it sparked us. We had a huge win against the Hot Dolphins here. Maybe it'll spark us. Don't like to compare years, but the Ravens are healthy and they're playing sound football at the right time. If they hit their stride and they bring this game plan and healthy game plan to Foxborough, the Patriots are in for a big surprise, man, and they're going to lose this game.
That's right. And Joe Flacco, let's talk a little bit about him. He said this week that when he goes up in Foxborough, you can feel the hate coming from the crowd. He enjoys playing there, but he said he definitely feels like an unwelcome visitor in that stadium, of course. Now, we saw what happened this past week with the Dolphins. Joe Flacco was let loose, and he was throwing all over the place. But this Patriots defense is just as good as the Ravens' defense. They, I believe, right now they're tied for the second best defense in the league. These two teams. So Joe was throwing to these receivers who were just wide open, no Dolphins around them whatsoever this past week. I'm going to assume that the Patriots are going to be a little bit better on defense than the Dolphins were. How does the offense battle this Patriots defense to make sure that Joe can throw the ball? And also, you know, after you address that, let's talk a little bit about the running game, which we didn't see a lot in that Dolphins game. So let's go first. Let's just say, how does Joe combat that defense?
Well, how he combats his defense, I want to bring this up first and foremost. A friend of mine on Facebook said inside sources from the castle apparently said that Joe called a majority of his own plays against the Dolphins.
Good.
I don't know how true that is, but in answering that question, like you said, let Joe loose. I'm happy we're talking about Ravens Patriots here. But remember the Super Bowl year we played the Patriots for the AFC title game for the second year in a row. We were losing 13-7 at halftime. Okay. 13-7. We went on to win that game 28-13. We scored 21 unanswered points in the second half. Mm-hmm. Harbaugh at halftime said, we need to let Joe loose. We need to look at it and say, let's just let him loose. And look what happened. He came out. He threw all the touchdown passes he could. He threw two to Bolden that were on point. We won the game soundly. Look what happened. Apparently, whether that's true or not, coming from the castle, I haven't confirmed that statement anywhere. So, I even asked him seriously, and he said, yes, seriously, it's on my Facebook feed. But if it's true, and Joe called a majority of his plays, maybe that was the difference. Because we did say that him and Morningwig were a heated discussion, and they were both passionate about what they had to say. So maybe there was a stop. And if we see the same offensive blueprint come out and say, look, I don't care who the opponent is, they need to come out and duplicate this. That's the blueprint for success. Yes, I've always said that you have to let the game come to you. You have to play to the strengths and weaknesses of the team you're playing versus defensively. But how he beats the Patriots offense is continue to do what he did. Step on the pedal. If you have them down, you beat them down and just pedal to the metal. I don't care what the situation is. If it's same thing, if it's fourth and one, and we're a 47-yard field goal range with Tucker, and let's say we're down three, up seven, up 3 points. I don't know if it's a one-score game. Why not go for it? Yeah, you got to take the points, but you have to show them, hey, what if this was a playoff football and we're one and done? This could be a playoff football and one and done if we lose this game. So you almost have that mentality as every week, there's no tomorrow. There's no next game. There's no three more left. This is it. And the Ravens have to execute. Whether the run-pass ratio speaks for itself, I have no clue, because I'm happy with the ratio because of the way we executed. When the middle of the field was that wide open and players were catching balls, Joe Flacco was efficient, 36 completions out of 47 attempts. His receivers were catching balls, running routes. Pitta was getting open for touchdowns. You don't have to run it. It's sucky when you're down one score or up one score, and then you're throwing the ball three straight downs, you three and out, and you go on the sideline, you go, what just happened? And then the other team goes down to kick 3 points or to score seven, and we get the ball back again, and we're at the same – it's like insanity, man, doing the same thing over and over again. I hate to see that. I think what needs to happen is what we've seen and duplicate it. How easy is that? It's easier said than done. It remains to be seen when the ball kicks off at 8:30 on Monday night and the offense gets first cracked at it, whether we get it first or not. Defensively, we're always going to be there. We're the top defensive unit in the league. We already know we're shut down the run. So the focal point here is going to be the offense and that big question mark. If they can duplicate is the big question.
Let me ask you about a big part of this offense, Joe Flacco, one of his favorite targets, Steve Smith Sr., who we actually should congratulate because he's the recipient of the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award for the Ravens, which congrats to Steve Smith on that. However, the last couple games, we've seen Steve Smith take some really dumb personal foul penalties, costing the Ravens a lot of yards because of, you know, somebody getting into his face and everything like that. We all love the fire that Steve Smith has, and we love the fact that he can stand on his own and he doesn't take any crap. But for, like you said, this game is going to be won by whoever makes the least amount of mistakes. We can't have Steve Smith going off and costing the Ravens 15 yards if somebody gets in his face. So how does Steve Smith keep his cool while also still being that Steve Smith that we love.
Has to keep it in check in rightful moments. To tell Steve Smith to keep cool, that's like telling Conor McGregor to keep cool. It's just not going to happen. Guy's wild. He's wildfire, man. He just never know what could happen. He could pop off. But what I want to touch on there is, in your point is, it's controlled passion. It's not letting it get the best of you. Not saying something stupid where the rest might hear and get a stupid taunting pattern. I don't know. And again, you know how I feel about that. It's don't push the opposing players. Don't put your hand on them. Get up and let your play speak for itself. After the game, then sound off like a Richard Sherman. You know, hey, the corners were mediocre. They can cover me or whatever. Sound off after the game. Let your play speak. Not to ever tell Steve Smith to be quiet or to be wise. I always say what Ray do, but he's his own person. He's his own personality. But there's got to be controlled chaos and controlled emotions out there. It's an adrenaline game. It's a physical game. It's a man sport. Players are hitting each other with the bodies and helmets and pads, and there's a lot at stake here. Someone's going to wind up, might say a few things. I do it in the heated moment a lot too, and then I'm like, oh, geez, what have I just said? And, I got to apologize for it. Everybody's been there, done that. But you just got to be mindful of, will it cost my team position? Will it cost us field position? Will it cost us a shot at a touchdown, a shot at to win the game? You just got to be mindful of your surroundings and be passionate, but control it. You can get excited but not get over the top. And, if someone tackles you hard, don't get up and shove them or hit them in the helmet. Get up and just say nice play. Again, that's just my two cents. I'm not preaching that. The Steve Smith never would. He's a Hall of Famer. He's in respect. He's been doing this for years in the league. I've seen the football life. He's done it all his life. Getting in the head of the players, there's nothing wrong with that. Just continue to do what he's doing, man. Digging in, pressing hard, playing hard, and schooling these guys, man. He's got breakaway speed still. Get it in the slot. Get him out there and make plays. Get the ball in his hands. He's a baller, and pay it accordingly. Get it in his hands.
That's right. So let's talk a little bit about the run game. We did not see the run game very often against the Dolphins. We talked about that in the Red Eye review. So let's just talk about it now. What do you do with this Patriots team? Like I said, tied for second best in the league. How is the Ravens run game going to fare against this Patriots defense?
They're going to run well, man. I'm really excited to see how that matchup plays out for us. I think with our line being as healthy as we are at this point juncture in the season, I think we really have a legit shot of showing them that we're not afraid to run right down the throats on this one. Get right down the middle of the field. But I like the use of outside tackles. Get off tackle, especially that fourth down play where they fake the pitch inside and pitch it outside. And it was a well-designed play. I think, well, play calling's going to really win it here on the running front for us. It's going to come down to how well we hold our lanes and how well it comes down. I really can't wait to see how that all plays out in the interim against their line. Their line, got a chance to look at it. Statistically, they've given up a few big games in the run game. So our two-headed running attack, I'm very confident with what could transpire in the running game and using them well. Again, I'm going to watch TV like I've always wanted to. Can both backs be on the field at the same time and really mix it up?
All right, so let's talk about the defense. Of course, this is Terrell Suggs' favorite guy to take out. He was in a press conference this week, wouldn't even say Tom Brady's name, just said, he broke some records, numbers don't lie, but still he wants to go in there. Like Tom Brady is the most winningest quarterback in the history of the NFL. I think, if anything, that's even more motivation for Terrell Suggs to go in and take a win away from him at that point.
Absolutely, and it's funny you bring up how he wasn't vocal in saying his name. We all know the respect he has for him. This is business. This is disdain. This is you're in our way. You're in our way for a common goal, and we're going to go through you, and we might very well play this team again. This could be a rematch of the AFC Championship game again this year up in Foxborough. Who knows what the season might play out, but they're very likely to get the one or the two seed, depending on how this season plays out with them and Raiders, both being at 10-2. But we're probably going to have to go up there for one more trip, so let's make this one a memorable attack. It was kind of funny because we got drubbed by the Broncos in 2012 under those same circumstances, and we went back up there and took care of business with a hot Mile High Miracle to help us out. I think what this game brings is what Suggs did. It's that respect, it's that love hate respect factor. I'm not going to speak of his name. You all know what he's capable of, but it's poking fun at him too. But also getting the bulletin board material out there saying, you know what, it's on. You know, we're not going to sit here and say, yeah, Tom's a good quarterback. We already know. Surefire Hall of Famer, first ballot. We already know what his resume says. We already know he's got 4 Super Bowl championships out of 6 tries. We already know he set numerous records, and he just set one again this week. We already know who he is. But to see here Suggs do that, that's kind of awesome, because it's kind of like that quiet respect. He's showing respect to him in a certain way as a veteran and as a fellow Pro Bowler and a perennial All-Star does, an All-Pro. But again, it's that we know who you are, but you're just like everybody else. They're not treating you differently because you are a superstar. We've already beat him before. We beat him numerous times. Joe Flacco's outplayed him. This defense has gotten to him. Suggs has gotten to him on numerous times, and it's our time to shine. And Suggs is saying, we're not afraid of you guys. You know, you're not some high and mighty Tom Brady. Ooh, it's Tom Brady, and it holds that weight. No. You know, you're no different. He's basically saying you're no different than Ryan Tannehill at this point, which is awesome.
Yeah. So, all right. So you brought it up with this, with the Ravens defense, that they can shut down the run pretty well. I definitely see that happening with the Patriots, but we know how much Brady likes to throw the ball as well. What are we going to do with, you know, there's Jimmy Smith, there's Tavon Young. Both guys, I think, are great. Tavon Young, he had a stinger this past Sunday, from what I understand. I think he's okay. We have Eric Weddle, and we have Lardarius Webb making plays like last week. What do you see from the secondary? Are they going to be able to cover all of Brady's targets? Because he does have a few of them.
The way that they're going to hone in on that is they got to take away the running game. We already know they're going to take away Blunt. We've already handled the Cowboys' offense and taken away Zeke. So we already know that's going to happen. What's going to happen is their next target is big Martellus Bennett in place of Gronkowski. And the reason why I say he's a threat is because we already know Edelman's going to get his fill. Mm-hmm. Edelman and Bennett are going to be our two focal points. Edelman, Bennett, and Brady. Those three. They're all going to work together because we need to apply pressure. If we can't get pressure, we need to cover these guys, because if we don't get to Brady for one and we don't hold our lanes for two, it could spell well dangerously for us, man, in the secondary, because it's – and I like everybody to step up. I was very impressed with the play of the Darius Webb. That was spectacular. Jimmy Smith back. Tavon Young played well. Jarrod Powers played well. Eric Weddle had a pick. We already know Eric Weddle brings to the team, and we already know what he's about. If the defensive unit can hold and really show that they mean business and shine, if they can stop this pass, because it's going to come to passing. It's going to come on Tom Brady's arm and how well we can blanket their receivers, how well we can defend and not do the stupid penalties. What I want to really watch is those defensive holds, those offsides, those pass interferences, those illegal contacts. There are penalties I'm talking about that would keep the Patriots in this game. And let's say 3rd and 12, and we're yelling and screaming at the bar, 3rd down, and next thing you know, let's say 4th down and there's a flag on the TV. We see it and you're like, oh no. And then it's a defensive penalty. The Patriots will make you pay, go right down, score 7. And then there you go. We could easily lose by 10 points. And that 7 points would be, hey, that's probably why we lost right there, because stupid penalty, let them on the field. So I think this defense has to be really disciplined, not fall for the tricks and shenanigans of the Patriots offense, and really say, you know what, we don't care who you are. We're going to play you just like we did the Dolphins and blueprint it and stop there. Got top guys. I mean, Landry had a quiet day. I mean, he had 11 receptions for, I think, 87 yards. But apart from that, a lot of it was on one big play. So you have to cut down the big plays and keep everything in front of you. They keep everything in front of you, Ben not breaking it down in the red zone and score 3 instead of 7. We can keep them out of the end zone and get some turnovers. Turnovers are going to be the difference in premium here. But I think if they had that bend, not break mentality and really show strong and show that they're the number one unit again, it's definitely going to be a focal point in a war right there in the trenches.
We all know how big of a threat Gronkowski would have been for this game. And, of course, he's out. Some saying this could be the end of his career with how bad of an injury this is. But
it sucks, man. Yeah. He's just a great talent, man.
But let's just say, hypothetically, Gronk was in on this game. Who do you think would be assigned to him? Who would be covering Gronk?
Given if they're man or zone, is that what your question is?
Yeah. Mm. If they're like man-to-man, who is getting teamed up to go against Gronk?
I hate the linebacker mismatch because Mosley's the fastest, maybe Zach Orr. Okay. Definitely not a secondary because he's mismatched. I would put Zach Orr because he's a quick rookie, maybe like the speed of Mosley. Definitely not going to be Suggs, definitely not going to be Doom. I would say probably. Or it could be a Malvern McClellan. I've seen he's speedy and shifty. Any one of these three guys, Mosley, McClellan, or would probably have to cover Gronkowski across the middle. Now, if it's a zone, it's going to be where the zone is. If it's outside and it's going to be the corners / linebackers, is it going to be in the flats? Is it going to be up in the middle of the seam? Zone, it's tricky because it depends on what zone and what kind of zone you're playing. For playing 4-3-3-4 nickel, depends on what zone that is. But if I say man-to-man, I'm sticking with my three linebackers. They already cover up the middle.
All right, gotcha. So, that's a big body. I mean, Gronk is a powerhouse, and the Patriots are definitely going to be able to. They're going to be feeling it, the loss there. But I was thinking, could you see a guy like Eric Weddle going up against Gronk? That is a big mismatch right there. So I don't know how well that would have worked, but
it would be tough just because it's a mismatch. You'd never want to see a big tight end like him, an all pro, going against the safety. Because look at it this way. The safety is the safety. If he gets past the safety, he's in the end zone. So right. You don't want him to get past the second level. First level is one thing. Second level is another. If you're getting back in our secondary and that's our last resort, we're concerned, and that's a big red problem there, red siren problem. Going on to that, I think what they got to contain everything in front of them. The Ravens know this game. The Patriots' MO was dink and dunk. They don't beat you with big plays. They usually get you with trickery, but they don't get you with the big play mentality. It's throwing it 50-60-yard bombs down the field like some of these teams wing the ball. It's in the Drew Brees-led offense where they're going to throw it all over the place. Brady's been known to do that, but with the way his offense is now and not having his weapons, he has to conform to that and give and take what the defense is going to do. We take away the run, we're going to have to get everything underneath. If we can keep them at 3rd-and-6, 3rd-and-7, and they, because they're pretty much looking for yards after catch. They're going to throw it 3 yards, and they're looking for Edelman to freaking die 4 yards for the first down and get a 7. So that's what's going to come down to. If we can hold the tackles, and tackling is going to be the focal point. If we can hold that lanes, tackle, and really contain the offense, it's going to spell well for the Ravens on defense, man.
All right, so before we get out of here for this show, we did have a fan who's a big Ravens fan who lives up in the New England area, Tevin. He actually sent us a quick clip. He's kind of like our spy almost, I want to say. He's the guy who's going to be telling us what they're saying up in New England about the Ravens, and I'm going to play that clip now. So, Josh, you ready for this? You got like your notepad out to we got a spy under the dark of night helping us out.
You got it, man. I'm excited. I really love hearing, like we did Greg last week, I love hearing what fans got to say. I love hearing fans in our enemy territory. Really excited to see what this guy has to bring to the table, man. Thanks for him reaching out to you, man. This is awesome.
All right, here we go.
Hey, Brandon. Hey, Josh. Hope all is well. Thanks for having me on the podcast. My name's Tevin. I've been listening to pretty much every episode of The Cause since the start of last season. It's dope for me to be a little guest on here with y'all. Yeah, you guys feel like celebrities to me. You're where I get most of my Ravens kind of talk, because I've lived my whole life just outside of Boston. I'm in the heart of Pats Nation. My whole life, I've been a diehard Ravens fan since I was old enough to watch and understand football. I wanted my favorite team to be the team that I would want to play against the least, or the team that I would hate playing. And I certainly, when I was, 8, 9 years old, I didn't want to try to tackle Jamal Lewis, and I definitely didn't want to try to escape a tackle from Ray Lewis in 2000. Anyways, when you live, you learn a lot about the enemy, inevitably, when you live behind enemy lines. I know you guys must be super excited about having a big primetime game against a rival. So am I, especially after this Miami win. So I listen to Boston Sports Talk, and I talk with Patriots fans every single day. And the consensus that I'm getting around here is that the Ravens are one of only a couple teams that anybody in Patriots Nation fear at all. And I put the word fear in air quotes because most of them literally think they're going to win every game. They know that the Ravens aren't shell-shocked or afraid to go into Foxborough and punch them right in their mouth. They know that we aren't the Colts. We're not the Chiefs. We're not the Texans. We're not a team that's going to go in there in December or January and just throw up on themselves. They know quite clearly that we're a team that will go into their house and beat them, if not push them to their absolute limit. The question mark with this Patriots team is without a doubt their defense. Most New England sports talk shows and the callers, they've been super critical of the defense despite their little win streak. When they traded Jamie Collins to the Browns, that ruffled some feathers, along with the trade of Chandler Jones in the offseason, seemed to rattle the confidence in the defense. We're talking about Patriots fans who, even without Gronk, believe that they have their tickets already punched to the AFC title game. Their biggest concern being whether their defense can get a stop on third or fourth down when it really, really matters. They've masked their defensive slide to mediocrity by simply playing mediocre teams the past few weeks, the 49ers, the Jets, and the Rams, looking fairly unimpressive considering what the expectations were around here for those games. The Ravens are the first real test for the Patriots in over a month, and I'm anticipating a playoff atmosphere and a Ravens win on Monday night. Thanks to my girlfriend, she's wonderful. She scored some tickets to the game. We'll be decked out in purple and black, screaming for our boys and probably at some point screaming at our boys for a stupid penalty or play call, but this is the life we chose, alas. The keys to Ravens' success to me is simple in premise but not as easy in execution. The Ravens need to get pressure on Brady without blitzing the linebackers excessively. The Patriots' offense is at its best when Brady gets rid of the ball quickly to his speedy slot receivers. Our defensive line has to get their hands in his passing lanes, and our secondary should be playing a few extra yards closer to the line of scrimmage, and we should dare Brady to beat us deep. Most Patriots fans around here will concede that his arm is nowhere near where it used to be. On our side of the ball, we need to be aggressive and try to convert 3rd and 7s and 3rd and 8s in the air. Complacency on offense or trying to play the field position game won't bode well for us down the stretch. On offense, on the other side of the ball, we should attack their secondary, but we have to find a balance where we can do that without completely abandoning the running game. As the Patriots linebackers are a bit banged up and just not all that impressive, I see a big game for both Terrence West and Kenneth Dixon. We go into the game fairly healthy on defense, you know, Jimmy Smith's back. We should be extremely confident on offense. We just hung 38 on Miami. I think if we can put four quarters together of Ravens football, I see no reason why we don't leave Foxborough with a huge win and a great start to our final playoff push. Again, thanks for having me on, guys. I hope to check in with y'all next week after I lose my voice yelling at Patriots fans and yelling at Ladarius Webb and Sharice Wright. Thanks, guys. Go Ravens.
All right, guys, there you go. Tevin from Boston, right outside of Boston. You know, he had no Boston accent. It's kind of funny.
First thing I noticed. The first thing I noticed. But Tevin, that was amazing. Great assessment. A couple things I want to touch on what he said. It's kind of funny because I know a lot of Patriot fans too, and they feel like they're invincible. Like he said, they already have their tickets punched to the AFC title game. When I was up there for the playoff game, they feel like they're entitled. I don't know why. It's just the way they are up there. I think it's because they're spoiled, and they just feel like everything's just going to happen. Like, oh, well, even Gronk's out, well, we're still going to win. And he brought up a great point, too, and I definitely want to close with that. This is a huge test for both teams, but the Patriots more because they really haven't played anybody. The Ravens have played quality opponents, just have come up short on a few. We just came a couple weeks ago again from Dallas. Dolphins, say what you want. They won six games in a row. They were 7-4. We were 6-5 at that time. I mean, they were 7-4, one game better. They were three games over 500. So they were a few games better than us at that point. So he actually has great points. And I like hearing perspectives from other fan bases, especially up there, because he's in enemy territory. And the word fear, you know, the Patriots and the fans are scared of us. Patriots alike. The team and the fans, this is the team they don't want to see. A lot of the NFL writers were saying that we're the dark horse in the AFC, that we get in, we make noise. Everybody's afraid of us, always has been. It's funny because we overturned that the Ravens are an intimidating bird, creature, carnivorous bird. And it's kind of funny because we're always dubbed for that dark horse team mentality, just get in and we don't want to play them, or everybody's like, if you ask anybody in the AFC, they're not scared of the Steelers. They're scared of Ravens because we have an offense. And if January Joe shows up like he did, it's lights out. You're done. It's pretty much just like lock away, shut the door and throw away the keys. It's done. We're going to walk out of there a winner. Great feedback, Kevin. Thank you so much for the insight. I love it hearing fans, not only in enemy territory, but I love hearing fans here as well, all over the world, wherever you're at. I love the sound bites that you all give us, and to show what it is. You know, me and Brandon put our opinions out there and have good conversation and banter put out there for you guys, but we definitely like to hear you guys. And, you know, we don't have the capabilities to have an in-studio setup. We do what we do, but it's great to hear you guys and how we are Ravens Nation worldwide and the call worldwide. We really appreciate it, man. And Brandon, that was awesome, man.
That was great. And let me just tell you, I like what he said. You brought it up that they kind of fear the Ravens. This is the team that the Patriots, that they always feel entitled. But when they see that Ravens game, they're like, ooh, I don't know about that one. I also like the fact that he brought up a lot of people are talking about Brady's arm not being what it used to be. So obviously Brady's showing some age, and maybe he's showing a little bit of he's got a little chink in that armor. So we'll see what happens on Monday. But Tevin, thank you so much for sending us that audio bite. That's great. Have a great time at the game. Don't let any Patriot fans give you any crap. And we should have a great game on Monday. So Josh, have we covered everything?
Bro, this has been awesome. Ravens Monday Night Football edition. Quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, guys, go over to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. I don't know if you guys noticed this or not, or if you even use this feature on Facebook, but I used to have something called interest lists, and you could put your favorite pages or whatever, like whatever the subject was, all together in one interest list. They've gotten rid of that on Facebook, so I don't know if you've had the Call Podcast set up in one of your own interest lists. If you haven't, you might miss some notifications from us, so make sure you go over to the Call Facebook page, like us, follow us, and also turn on your push notifications there, so whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. You'll get a little alert on your phone. It sucks that they change stuff and don't tell anybody, but That's where we're at with Facebook, but whatever. All right, guys, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Pokemon Go and anything else you do online, any way you're social on the web, if you're on Bumble, I don't care, whatever. Let people know I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the Call, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for this Purple Friday preview. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so much. It's been a great interactive show. Can't wait to get it started, guys. It's right here, man. Fourth quarter of the season is going to get underway. We have a relaxing day of Sunday. Raven football is on Monday night, prime time. The world's going to be watching. Rightfully so. Ravens Patriots is great billing. Great billing for the league. Great billing for us. It's going to come down to this. This is a playoff run. It starts now because you already know we're going to be there. We're going to be there in January. Let's get it started. January Joe was already here. He was here last week. If he continues this tear and this team continues to get healthy and continues to play well, we're going to win the North. I've always said every week, let's defend the North. Let's win the North. Let's just go ahead and win it. It's right there for the taking. It's going to come down to Christmas Day. We already know that, but we have 2 games to get out of the way. First and foremost, another road game, first out of the last 3 out of 4, starts this Monday night. Heavyweight fight style, Ravens, Patriots. We already know what we're going to get involved in. We're up with sleeves, going to get dirty. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high into Foxborough on Monday night.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly, from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.